Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. So the beauty of walking into Gary's Wine in Wayne, New Jersey, is you never know what the hell he's going to be pouring. Gary?
No, you never do.
No,
you know?
Because I came here thinking we were tasting something else. We're here with Chad Watkins, and it happens that Whitehall Lane Vineyards is here. Family-owned Tom Leonardini, I said that the American way for you, the second.
I'm here. Thank you, Tracy.
Is here with us, Tom. So, first of all, what brings you to Wayne, New Jersey?
So, I work for
Gary.
Gary, of course.
Yeah.
So, I think Gary knows everyone in Napa, and I met Gary in Napa many times. And I'm the sales manager for my family's winery, and I get to travel all over the place. And I'm here in New Jersey and wanted to come see my buddy Gary.
All right, so your family bought this in 1993.
Yes.
And you've been working since 94.
Really hard, every day.
Seriously?
He's just saying that for his dad.
I was going to say,
dad's
going
to be listening.
So what's really the truth? Did you want to go into the business?
I actually, as I'm watching Chad and Gary swirl their wine,
You're a beer drinker.
No, I thought I'd never be in the wine business because I first started seeing all the wine and learning about it, and I thought it was really funny, and I kind of laughed at it. Now I've become that guy. I swirl my glass. I drink lots of wine.
And you're on the road with selling the family jewels. Okay, yeah. So tell us about what makes Whitehall Lane so fantastic compared to all the other Napa Valley vineyards out there.
Well, Napa in general, as I look at my topo map over here.
Yes,
love that.
And we'll
I love
put
that
a picture
map.
Up of it.
It's from my buddies at the Napa Valley Vintner. So Napa's a really special place. So less than 1% of the earth has our climate. We have tons of soil types, different elevations, and we're still blessed with water. So
even though there's been some droughts and stuff.
Yeah, we still have issues with it, and everyone's doing their best to conserve it, but we still have water, luckily.
I think actually Napa's done some amazing things with technology and taking advantage of the little water that has fallen to the ground.
That's true, and I'm embarrassed to admit this. Our family's from San Francisco, and I had never been to Napa until my parents bought the winery, and it's an hour away.
I thought you were embarrassed that you're parents are from San Francisco. I could say that.
No, I'm not gonna respond to that one, Gary. We're proud to be from San Francisco.
All right.
But anyway, so to answer your question, we're a family-owned winery, and there are lots of family-owned wineries in Napa, but a lot of them are going away.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of a sad thing to see, but our wine from all of Napa is so good that everyone wants a piece of it. We're lucky we have 6 vineyards. All valley floor vineyards, and we grow lots of our own grapes, which lets us make our wine to a really high quality, and we can just continue on the path to make really good wine and fine-tune it year after year.
But I think that's interesting, and Gary, maybe you can respond to this, is that a lot of these family-owned businesses, I guess just eventually you run out of money, and they put themselves on the block, and they need these big rich dudes to come in, sweep them up, and save the day.
Yeah, I think it happens in two different ways. One is generational. You know, you need to have passion, as Tom has developed the passion of his parents or his father to come into the business. There are a lot of wineries we see that the next generation doesn't have that same passion.
And don't you want to smack them in the head and say, dude, your family is passing a business on to you?
It's funny, I feel for the parents, because I've seen a couple where the father tells me, and he is either first or second generation, that they sold the property and the business for ridiculous amounts of money.
Right.
And they'll never have to worry. Their kids will never have to worry. Their grandkids will never have to worry. But he's miserably unhappy.
Well, a lot of times the parents built the winery up for their kids, and then I'll come right out and say it. I can't mention names. The kids will say, I'd rather have the money.
Right. Yeah.
And you want to just forehead slap them.
And so that's one side of it. The other side of it is economics.
Sure.
Where it's a cool business, but it's not economically viable, and there you have to find another alternative.
Right.
Both are a shame. The family thing, that you have a great product and a great family business, and you just don't have an heir to hand it to, it's sad to me.
And then I've been traveling for over 20 years, so I have lots of friends all over the country and in Canada, and part of the fun of my job is traveling around with our great wine and meeting people and introducing them to it and becoming friends with them and keeping the whole network going. And that's what keeps me going, is meeting all the people.
So you,
and all
you
our
find
friends.
Yourself, you fell in love with the whole thing.
Yeah, and I have more of an interest now in growing the grapes and making the wine and I barely passed high school chemistry, so that part's a struggle for me, but but it's fun. It's fun seeing going from grapes to the bottle. And
I barely passed high school, but I have tasted... Kidding.
Chad is laughing.
But I have tasted this Sauvignon Blanc just now, and it is.
Okay, so let's talk about the wine. So you brought us three.
Right. So this is our Sauvignon Blanc. It's 2014 vintage. Sauvignon Blanc's really popular in Napa with people that live there because it's a white wine, you drink it chilled, and it's really hot in Napa. And we had one of our hottest years ever. So
hot, you mean popular in Napa?
No.
Temperature.
Hot,
no.
Temperature.
No, you mean temperature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, this year it was crazy hot.
Wait, but, so why is Sauvignon Blanc hot in Napa?
Well, popular hot. Because red wines aren't as refreshing as white
wine.
So
well,
simply, it's our white wine.
Drinking a Sauvignon Blanc is kind of like having orange juice in the morning.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I mean, if you drink it before 10 o'clock in the morning, of course.
So, and there's no clearly defined style, normal style of Sauvignon Blanc from Napa. So basically, we grow our own grapes for this wine at a couple of the different ranches. We pick the grapes ripe, so they have lots of flavor. And you mentioned the breakfast thing, which I hear often. I taste melon in this one.
Melon is exactly what I
definitely.
Get.
Definitely. Yeah.
And then...
And is it 100% Sauvignon Blanc?
It has a little Semillon. And then we do something a little different. We barrel ferment some of the Sauvignon Blanc, about a third of it. So it doesn't make the wine taste oaky. It just gives it some weight and some creaminess.
Creaminess. You know, what I get out of it, I also get a little kiwi. I get a little of that melon kiwi up front. Mm-hmm. I get good mouthfeel and a richness. Yeah. Which I didn't think about the wood, but I could see that if you give a little of it barrel fermentation, which gives you that more mouthfeel, and it's under $20, I think, right?
Yeah.
What's the price point retail?
It's all over the map, all over the country.
We should look, but it's like not. 18? I mean, I got to tell you, it's a reasonably priced, very good.
It's fine. We can follow up with that, but either way, under $20, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and back to all my travels with all my friends, I'll have sushi and sashimi. On Oahu with my buddies and then go to New Orleans and have crayfish boil and then up in Canada have an oyster. So this wine goes
and in
with
New Jersey
he
had a ham cheese on a ham
ham egg and cheese.
Yeah, back here.
At like 3:30 in the morning on the way home.
But you guys have some of the best Italian food in the whole country. So
yes, we do.
Tomato, mozzarella,
we're not even
going to
deny
oil.
That.
Yes.
Now, I hope because I am a huge Sauvignon Blanc fan, that just because it is fall and we're talking football and Gary taught me a football term on my way in today, that people don't stop drinking it. I think you should drink it.
Well, this is really popular at our house.
I'm going to weigh in on that.
Yes,
and,
please.
And it comes to the heat thing. In the warmer weather, if you drink an oaky Chardonnay, it dries you out.
Yep.
So you're warm and you're getting dried out by your beverage, which doesn't work. In the summer, Sauvignon Blanc clearly to me is a better alternative.
Right.
But in the cooler weather, it may not be your breakfast beverage, but it would go great with your first course, a salad course of dinner.
Exactly.
As a pregame, as you're warming up to the meal, you know, what you're having something a little bit light.
Yeah, but
sushi
But so, do you see Sauvignon Blanc sales drop as it cools off?
Yes, I mean they slow down a little bit, but not completely.
Right.
And I think in some cases, what happens is the seesaw. In the summer, we sell more of the less expensive.
Sure.
As the weather changes, we sell more of the Whitehall Lane quality.
Got it.
Well,
you know,
and to keep us focused on Jersey here, of course.
Of course.
If you're talking, you know, your seven fishes. Sauvignon Blanc.
Christmas
I'm
Eve.
I'm only one fish.
That's a beautiful
come
thing.
On. December
absolutely
24th, everyone
pairing.
Should be drinking Sauvignon Blanc.
Whitehall Lane.
That's right.
Sauvignon Blanc, no less.
So now what are we drinking?
So
this is the resurgence of this.
Yeah, so this
I'm
is
this.
Our Merlot. And
people still drink Merlot.
So I was about to
so
say.
So I smile when I say Merlot because Whitehall Lane was one of the first wineries to make Merlot as an independent variety. So when my parents bought the winery in 93... We were known for Merlot, which I think we still are. And Cab's probably what we're most known for just because it's Napa. But back to laughing at Merlot, we ran out last year. And we had almost had an out of stock, which is the first time in a while.
Wow.
And it was really cool to see because a lot of time Merlot is openly discriminated against.
And because of
shouldn't
that?
There be laws about that?
We do have anti-discrimination laws in America. But
it's a myth. As a wine reporter, I have done some research on this, and it was all from this movie Sideways, you know. But the problem is, it was taken out of context. He was not slamming Merlot.
Right.
He was on a Pinot Noir trip.
Right.
So the world extrapolated and ruined everything.
But I got to tell you, with all due respect, there was a period of time where Merlot was overcropped, and there was a lot of what I would call rubbish. Am I allowed to say rubbish?
You
is that a word?
It's fine.
Rubbish Merlot.
It's
there was a lot of
word, but we can,
or British.
I just spoke to a British lady.
Oh, there you go.
I'll take that over the '60s when my. Anyway, the concept of there was a lot of crap Merlot out there.
So there was.
And so what happens is when you have great Merlot and crap Merlot, the new people drinking Merlot are drinking the crap because they're saying I want a $10 bottle of wine.
Exactly.
Oh, Merlot is hot, so they're drinking the $10 Merlot, which wasn't as good. But the better Merlots were always very good.
And what you just hinted at there is that, you know, Merlot was hot. So with any trend in any industry, but especially in the wine industry, when you get a product that is a hot trend, everyone wants to jump on board.
Yeah.
Right. And so you do get some really great producers like Whitehall Lane who are making exceptional Merlot all the time. But then you get a lot of other people who are just trying to cash in.
Just get in the category.
And it really turns people off.
True. And then we grow our Merlot grapes in vineyards where we could grow Cabernet. So a lot of times our Merlot resembles Cab. And I like to do a little trickery on people. Sometimes at a wine tasting, people come up, we have a really nice Merlot, and they go, okay, I don't want to try Merlot. I want your Cab.
And you pour it anyway?
Occasionally I'll do that.
I love that.
Never, like at your festival,
that's so
Gary,
devious.
I won't do that.
I love it.
But then people go, oh, I like it. So, and then the other thing in Napa, we have lots of wineries. They're like over 500. So pricing's all over the map in Napa.
Yeah.
And a lot of our competitive set stopped making Merlot, so it's kind of wide open for us, and it's flying.
I personally think that prices in Napa are getting a little bit ridiculous.
Especially Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's still an opportunity for great Merlots.
And you know, my death row wine, which I can never afford, is the Meseto, which, by the way, is 100% Merlot, and people don't even realize that.
Really, that's your death row?
Yeah, it would
wine?
Be my death row.
So if I told you I had it the other night, you'd be upset with me that I didn't include you?
I would say, please bring
it
to my funeral.
Yeah.
So this Merlot, I got to tell you,
it's
you
fabulous.
Get that
great.
Rich fruit up front. You get good mid-palate. I get a lot of structure. It's not tannic, you know, but it's got some
really
tannin.
So
what are you eating this with, Chad?
I'm doing either a lighter steak with this, so not something grilled, something a little bit finer cut. I would even do this with some, you know, roast pork, you know, lamb, something like that.
I think about doing Merlot with burgers over the summer.
You could do everything with burgers.
You could do everything with burgers. It's
pizza. Pizza as your first wine, you know, if you're having a multi-course dinner, mm-hmm. you have whatever the lighter red is, it would work.
And we have a great winemaker. His name's Dean Sylvester. He's been with us for a long time. He has a great palate. And he takes all our different grape sources, all our own, and everything's picked by hand. Everything's fermented separately and then in barrel for a while on its own. And then like a chef, he takes all the different components, gets like 30 prospective blends of this wine and puts it together. And one of the best descriptors of this wine I've heard straight from Dean is it doesn't taste like a donut, meaning you have forward fruit and it has a really nice finish, but it also has mid-palate texture, hence the no donut. And this wine I hear often tastes velvety, and it's just easy to drink.
I'm going to use that because I talk about the hollow center a lot. You know, we had this dinner the other night.
Oh, I get it now. I'm like, what the heck is the donut analogy? Hollow center.
We had the night we had the Meseto last week.
Can't put anything past me. Yeah, you're going to bring that up again? How many times are you going to bring that up?
Well, that's because the four Sassicaias we had around, they're all different. But anyway,
the
point for this is so frequently, especially Merlot, you get it with this, there's no middle. There's no mid-palate, and that's the point. You get that fruit up front, that's okay, you cool, and then you swallow it, and you're like, and then there's a tannin.
And then I have to go back to the movie really quickly. We used to live in St. Helena, which is kind of like the heart of the Napa Valley, and that movie played in our local theater, and I'm not a movie guy, and my wife's all, let's go see the movie. I'm all, absolutely no way am I going to sit in the theater.
Vada, by the way.
I'm not going to sit in the theater with all the wine people and right. watch some movie yeah, that's beaten on
you.
Our variety.
Yeah. Good for you.
But everything's cyclical, so then lots of people jumped on the Pinot bandwagon,
yes,
and now
so
there's
true.
A sea of Pinot.
And to Gary's
out there.
Point, some of them not so great.
Some of them not so yep. great.
Not so great.
And yep. some really good ones that are really expensive.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, and they're from a lot of our western states.
Yes. Okay, so we Gary took it upon himself to pour the cab.
Ooh.
Today, Leone.
No.
Oh,
not,
no,
not
what is it?
Cab.
No, it's not. It's a. Is it a blend?
Yeah, this is our red blend. It's called Tre Leone. It's all Napa Valley. It's cab, Merlot, and Syrah. And, yeah, it's kind of a fun wine. And,
oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, and then part of... being a family winery is we get to do some kind of different stuff. Dean's been making this wine for us for like over 10 years, just internally for family consumption.
You said Cab, Merlot, and Syrah?
Yes. Yeah. And the exact percentages are a secret. I can't tell you. Sorry, Tracy.
You're lying, but I'll
I
get them later.
I think he doesn't remember.
I'm thinking that's what it is too.
You're going to get me in trouble again.
With your dad. Come on.
I'm pretty sure I'll Google that and find it, but it's okay.
yeah, so three grapes, three lions. My dad, my son, and I are named Tom, so there are three lions on the label.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the goal...
Oh, he's like the little Simba one, your son.
Why can't you come up with a different family name? Everybody's got to be named the same thing.
It's kind of
embarrassing. Italians. Italians yeah. just can't think out of the box.
It's kind of embarrassing. So, yeah, and our last name, Leonardini, roughly translates to little lions from Italian.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm so fierce.
So,
yeah, so, and then unlike a lot of Napa wineries, we've made our red blend kind of like an entry-level wine, not our pinnacle flagship. So this wine's meant to be consumed like now, right out of the gate.
It's
yeah.
$20, right?
Yeah.
So think about that. You get that spice. So you do,
really nice.
You get that richness of a real wine.
Yeah.
I hate that term, but you do get a real richness. You get some spiciness. It has mid-palate.
Does.
And then the finish is kind of nice fruit on the finish, and then mm-hmm. this dries out a little bit. On it's perfect.
I
it's
love
really
that. And the drinkable.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And $20 or ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll find that out too. Don't worry.
And then we make a bunch of Cabernets too. So.
And Cabernet is what the, I mean. You do great Cabernet.
Thank you. Yeah.
But these are great. Well, you know, in this and what? Under 20.
So funny thing, living in Napa, and we have lots of friends, and everyone knows how to cook, and everyone has wine. And it's a really fun, festive place to live. And a little outside the norm, because we live in this little microcosm of wine world. But when people come to our house for dinner, or we go to someone's house for dinner, people will bring wine, always. We never run out of wine, which is great. But if you try the wine, you have no idea whether it's going to cost $30 yeah. or $100, $200, $300. You can't tell by tasting it.
But
and that's
I love that.
And some people easily sell it at the high price points, and then some people
but
try to copy
that.
Them,
there
and it doesn't
so many
work.
Wine snobs out there that only think they should be right. drinking the expensive stuff, and they're not, much like you cheated and poured the Merlot. I love that. I might try that. I'm going to try
it. A little
that.
Deception, but...
All right, so before I let everyone go, you mentioned you're going to be at Gary's event.
Yes.
Right, so we have our grand tasting on Monday, October 26th at the Park Avenue Club.
All this is in Jersey.
In Florham Park, New Florham Jersey. Park,
yeah. Where, by the way, the Italian food is the best.
I'm
just
ready.
Just saying.
I'm ready.
And you can get a double egg sausage, double egg Taylor ham and cheese on the way home at
after.
Just about any diner. Just saying.
If you're
I'm ready.
So just we saying. Have our grand tasting. We're going to have a bunch of our Napa friends visiting. All
pouring.
Our money pouring. Drinking because they like to consume
right.
as well as they
wine
like
tasting,
to.
Wine tasting dinners as
wine
well.
Wine tasting. Sunday night we have a few dinners available. Go to garyswine.com and you can learn all about it.
And tickets are still available.
Tickets are still available.
And I've had it on my calendar for months. It's going to be really fun.
Tom, you're going to be there. So what are you staying in town? Are you staying this whole time?
I travel all over the place, so I head home for a couple days, recharge my batteries.
His father wants him out of the vineyard,
exactly.
So he's here selling while they're making
the
wine. You
should tell Dad that he has worked hard today.
Thank you.
Papa.
Thank you.
Papa.
But it's fun to travel and promote our wine, and this is part of the camaraderie of Napa. When I have a bunch of friends that live close by, but I never see them at home. We see each other on the road. So when we're all together
like a
for a good
home.
Event, it's really fun and festive, and then the people that come to the event, too, get all caught up in it, and it's fun for everybody.
I love it. I
it's
think
great.
It's one of the most
It's a great business.
The friendliest industry.
I do this for a living.
It's crazy. You going to mention the Masetto again? I'm sure you are. All right. No. Chad, Gary, Tom, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Hey, what's your website real quick?
Whitehalllane.com, three L's.
In a row?
In a row.
How about that? He's right. All right, everybody, go try Merlot. Let's just everybody try Merlot for a change.
And the Cabernet.
And Sauvignon Blanc.
And Trelione.
Trentani.